Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm going to read from the Weymouth translation. This is James starting in chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "What good is it, my brethren, if a man professes to have faith and yet his actions do not correspond? Can such faith save him?" And of course, we know the answer to that is no. Now, I'm going to jump down to verse 18. It says, "Nay, someone will say," I'm still reading in the Weymouth, "you have faith, I have actions. Prove to me, apart from corresponding actions, and I will prove mine to you by my actions." In verse 22, you notice that his faith, now let me read down because this that makes it disjointed. You believe, verse 19, "you believe that God is one and you are quite right. Evil spirits also believe this and shudder." So see, demons, evil spirits can believe, and they do believe. Isn't it interesting? There's no atheistic, agnostic demons. They believe there is a God. They blind in people, but they believe a God. There's a God, the one true God. They know who he is. They got their butts kicked. But, and dethroned. But isn't it interesting? They don't go any further than that. They just believe. Right? They don't submit to him. They're defeated. So, but verse 20. "But idle boaster, are you willing to be taught how it is that faith apart from obedience is worthless? Take the case of Abraham, our forefather. Was it or was it not because of his actions that he was declared to be righteous as the result of his having offered up his son Isaac upon the altar?" Verse 22, you notice that his faith was cooperating with his actions, and that by his actions, his faith was perfected. So we're going to have to, when faith comes, when we see something in the Word of God, when it's been revealed, what's the next thing we got to do? Act on it. We're going to act on it. Now, a lot of times, not a lot of times, there are times we don't. And so when we come into a church service, we need to be expecting to see something from the Word of God and then do something with it. That should be our objective. Amen. I mean, why would you go, when you think about it, people spend billions of dollars to go to all kinds of self-help and self-improvement things for the purpose of learning something to put it into practice. Well, what are we doing, right? So we need to grasp something. What does the Word of God say? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because what? You rejected knowledge. Well, we're learning, but we don't want to be destroyed for a lack of it. And also, we don't want to be deceived for not acting on what we've seen or know, right? So the actions of a doer of the Word of God coincide with their confession. Now, I want to take some time here this evening just for a little bit. And let's turn over to Mark 11. If you'd go over there. I want to look at Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Faith moves God. Faith is not of your head. Faith is of your heart. Faith is spiritual, and faith will move mountains. Faith will move obstacles. Faith will change circumstances. Faith will. But there's one thing about faith. Faith won't change something until it changes you. And faith has to stir you. What did Deacon Shirley, when she was saying, we're convinced, Lord, we're assured, Lord. So when you are convinced, you ever think about this? When you are convinced of something, it changes your thinking, it changes your attitude, changes your actions, changes your talk. When you're convinced about something, be around somebody who's convinced that they love somebody. Man, you ain't, it's like, okay, can we change the subject? Right? Now, this lovely couple here, they talk about each other all the time, right? That must mean they're in love. Right? So what I'm saying is, when you're convinced of something, when you are assured of something, it changes how you talk and how you think. And so when we're convinced of something in the Word of God, it'll change us, and we will move mountains by faith-filled words. Now, this is something one of our prayer, the person on staff, she's not with us at this point, but Gladys Brooks, when she was on staff, she was up praying. It was her assignment, and we were up in Pennsylvania as church service. And she had a word from the Lord one Sunday morning, and we felt impressed to let her release that. And she said, I heard this in my spirit. I'll tell you, I don't know, some of you may have heard it, but it blesses me every time she, you know, when I read it. This is what she said. She gave this in 2012. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Disperse it, and I'll reverse it. Now, what is nursing something? Making friends with your obstacle. You're nursing it. Don't nurse it. That means don't pet it. Right, that's a good word. Don't pet it. Right? Don't make friends with a mountain. Don't rehearse it. Stop talking about it. Don't talk about the mountain or the circumstance. Don't talk about the situation in our country. Don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, disperse it. What does that mean? Speak to it. Speak to the mountain. And I'll reverse it. This is the God kind of faith, will remove the mountain. So don't nurse something, don't rehearse it, disperse it. Speak to it. Those are good words from the Holy Ghost. And when we do that, he'll get involved with our faith-filled words, and he'll reverse it. He'll reverse the situation. But we've got to release some words that are faith-filled. Now, Mark 11:22, of course you know this story. And of course, in verse 21, let me get over there, verse 21, Peter saying, hey, Lord, look at the tree. Look at the tree that you spoke to. And he said, what did Jesus say? And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, there's a version, I like this. This is a great version here. It's called the Centenary Translation. And it says, take hold on God's faithfulness. So when we take hold, sometimes when it says have the faith of God, you are taking hold of his faithfulness. He will bring to pass. His word is faithful. He's faithful. So faith lays hold of God's faithfulness. Now, let me read some of these. These are, I read some of these on Sunday. Let's read just the King James. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is, let me read some of these other translations, a New English Bible. If anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up from your place and hurled into the sea, and has no inward doubts, but believes that what he says is happening, not gonna happen, it is happening. When you release words that are in faith, you're convinced it is happening. Now faith is the substance of something hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And so when I release faith-filled words, it is changing. I don't feel it, I don't see it, but it's changing. It's working. If any man, this is another translation, if any man orders this mountain to be removed and cast into the sea and does not waver in his heart, but believes that what he says is done, it will be done for him. I like this. This is the Johnson translation. It says, truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. So that pretty much spells, when you become separated from the words that you release, what does that mean? I said it's this, and then 10 minutes later, I'm saying something else. I've become separated from what? I've become separated from the statement I made. That shows, as the Berkeley says, it's reflecting inner doubt. When you're convinced, that's why there's so much divorce. There's inner doubt. When someone's convinced of something, there is no doubt. There's assurance. That's why there are the things that are going on in this society, because there's inner doubts. They're beginning to question the authenticity of God's word. Maybe God meant that, maybe he didn't. No, he meant what he said. And so when there's no inner doubt, there's conviction. And where there's conviction, there's no changing. We're not changing. And so this is where things become, or in the Dewey Reams, it says, and stagger not in his heart. So somebody can have inner doubts, or they begin to stagger, you see. So this is important, and I'm sharing this. Some of this we're going back over from Sunday, and I'm going to make another point here. Somebody says, well, when are we getting off of this subject? When we get it. When we act on it. Amen. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. This says, that word receive in the Greek is lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O. It means to take. So when I pray, I take something. I believe that I take it. Once I take it, if I have this, why would I become separated from what I believe? Why would you talk like you don't have it if you have it? Why would you even go there? What that says is you're not convinced. You didn't take it. It was, you can hear E.W. Kenyon, all the writers that have gone on before us, it was mental assent. You just said words but it came from your head and not your heart. You just said, well, I took it. Okay, we'll see. A little pressure. Let's see if you really did take it. Let's see if you did. So that's something, and the Good News Bible, it says, believe that you have received it. Moffat says, believe you've got it. Believe that you've got it. The Godby says, believe that you just now received them. Now, not after you prayed. It says, when you pray, believe that you took it. You have it. And the Phillips, it says, believe that you have received it. So the problem that you face, the mountain that you face, may be complicated, but the solution is simple. The Word of God is simple. The answer is simple. Have faith in God. Now, I want us to look at something. I want to look at this a little from another angle here this evening. Turn over to Psalm 91. I want us to look at something to consider. Because we're not doing this by ourselves. We know that the Holy Spirit lives in us. He is our helper. He's our intercessor. He's our standby. He's the one called alongside to help. He's the one that prays through us and helps us in our time of need. But we also have an unseen army that's available to us. Hallelujah. We've got an innumerable number of angels that are at our disposal to help us. And I want us to look at this from the standpoint of faith, how to get results. Now let's look at Psalm 91. Starting in verse 1, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord. We're talking about something that's being released out of our what? Our mouth. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I love some of the other translations. Hallelujah. Verse 5, Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now look here. All of these things are mine. All of these things he's saying, I will save the Lord, this and this and this. And he said, verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Oh, whose habitation is yours? Is it the government? Is it your job? Or is it the Lord? And look what it says. Because you did that, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And this is what I was getting at. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. It sure is conditional. Because here's the thing, it's conditional in this sense. What am I saying? Am I saying he is my refuge? He is my strength. In him will I trust. Or am I saying, I just don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if maybe I'll get that. Maybe, maybe not. So I'm hindering him having the angels work in my behalf. My words are stout. Now, think about this. We're there. Let's jump over to Psalm 103. And let's look at verse 20. See, this is why it's important for us to release faith-filled words. Words that are God's words. What does it say here? Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So when we speak his word, they're working on our behalf. They're working. They're working. That's why I'm saying, let the angel. The devil ain't got nothing on these angels that are working for God. Why not talk about what God is going to do in this nation and let the angels go to work? Why not talk about things in your town, in your home, in your city? Let the angels go and work in our behalf. Right? Let's look at Luke 12. Luke 12. See, sometimes, you know, well, let's go there. I'll make a point here in a minute. Luke chapter 12. We need to cooperate with God and let the angels work. They're hearkening unto his command and his word. Luke 12, verse 8. It says, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him, see now I'm confessing him, I'm speaking the word. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him, he's talking about the one that's doing the confessing, him, shall the Son of Man also do what? Confess before who? The angels of God. So when I start making some professions of faith, he's talking. He's giving commands. He's speaking to those angels. Work. Go. Do this. Fight here. Dispatch the ministering angels. I'll tell you, you know, this is the time that we oughtn't to be sitting here wringing our hands. We've got a whole army. Not just the Holy Ghost, but we've got an army of angels that are there to serve us. Serve us. Hallelujah. Luke 15, you're right there. Luke chapter 15, let's look at verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in what? In the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So that means they're responding to what? The word. The profession of repentance. They're rejoicing. How much more, I mean, when someone who's working for, that's at God's command, yielding to God, how much more are they going to respond? My goodness. Let's look at Hebrews. Now, you're familiar with this, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and look at verse 14. He said, I'm reading the King James, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do what? Minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. This is the Hebrew, the HNV translation. It says, aren't they all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? They're at our disposal. They're there to work for us. The NIV, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? They're sitting waiting for a command. I'll tell you, that excites me. Sometimes we are, I'm not diminishing that we shouldn't trust God, but we are. That's the process. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. We're trusting Him. But there, what, we don't pray to angels. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And He said, they do what? It says, bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in what? Strength. That do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. I'm telling you, that's exciting. Because you are not alone. You're not alone. You've got a host of angels. I'm thinking of a scripture. If I can't find it, somebody help me. I believe it's in, let me look over here. It's Mark. It's when Jesus was tempted of the devil. It's Matthew. It's Matthew. Matthew 4. I said Mark 4. It's Matthew 4. But when you look at that, that was another scripture that came to my mind. Right. Exactly. That's what came to my mind. It says, after he was tempted, it said, it's verse 11. It says, after. But what was he doing? He was speaking the word of God. He was speaking the word of God. And then verse 11, it said, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him, strengthened him. So that's why sometimes when we may feel like we have no strength. Yes, the Lord is my strength and my salvation. But sometimes the angels will come and minister to us and help us, strengthen us, fight for us, work on our behalf. I'll tell you, I'm convinced that there's times that God has intervened in my behalf, and I believe that these were angels that did some things in this natural realm that spared us. I'm sure the same for you. Spared you. Amen. So I wanted to just share that facet that sometimes getting results by faith is continue to release words of faith and let the angels begin to work in your behalf. By what? Keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word of God. Keep saying it, speaking it. And thank God. Say, thank you, Father, for the angels. that are working in my behalf. Thank him for that. Thank you for the angels that are working in this area, whatever it is, on my job, in my home, in this neighborhood, in this government, whether it's local or national. Thank you, Father, that the angels are working. The angels are working. Satan's power is broken in the name of Jesus. Stop looking at Hollywood. Hollywood will have you scared of demons. They're scared of us.
That's right.
I refuse. I'm serious. I refuse to watch that stuff. I refuse to let my eyes see it or feed on it. Some people, they like, you know, I'm not telling you what to do or not to do. Some people like watching horror films. I don't. I refuse to. Why feed on fear? I'm going to feed on faith. And I'm going to let faith get down in my spirit and stir my spirit. In Jesus' name. And to me, it's the same thing. You want to watch those kind of things? Maybe you see it as entertainment. I see it as the devil motivating people to put these films out for people to feed on it. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, they think that's bigger than God.
Right.
And that's all it really is. It's a lie. And so let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's keep our mouths full of faith. So this, one of the things that I was looking at is one of the season we're in, the season that we're in at this point is it's gone beyond just what I call having faith. This is a season where we need to speak to things. And one thing recently, we were at a leadership meeting. This was last year. No, it was this year. It was earlier this year. We were in prayer, and one of the leadership individuals there said that God had spoken to him and his wife and said that, and it ministered to us, and it spoke to our hearts. We bore witness to it. You know, everything doesn't have to come through, you understand this, everything doesn't have to come through the pastor.
Amen.
There are people that are anointed of God, that are in leadership, that support you, that hear from God. And so this couple said that when they were in prayer, God spoke to them and said that there's been a lot of spiritual seed planted by this ministry. There's a harvest due. And you need to speak to it and call it in. And then they also said, and also they said, God said, there's been a lot of financial seeds planted by this ministry over the years. There's a harvest due, and you need to speak to the harvest and command it to come in. Now, that's God's will. If we don't do anything, we won't receive anything. So it's the responsibility of the leadership to receive that word. And to us, we received it because it sounded like the same thing that Pastor Clinton got before they went into the ministry. Before they had a ministry, they received a word from Brother Copeland that said, the people will come. And the money will come. That's the same thing. There's a harvest due. Spiritual meaning, a lot of word has gone forth from this ministry. There's a harvest due. Call in the people. You call them in. There's a lot of finances that have been sown through these years into other ministries and people's lives. There's a harvest due now. You call the money into this ministry. Now, we can believe that and do it or doubt it and come up short. So we've been doing it and releasing words of faith. So we expect growth. We expect people to come. We expect finances to come. And when we do, think about this. This is what encourages me, is that when we release those words at God's command, this wasn't something we dreamed up. This was something that came by the Holy Ghost. This was something that God said, "Thus saith the Lord, do this." That was as much a word from the Lord as this. When we do it, the angels will hearken to his command and will go cause the people to come in. We don't have to do it. You don't have to have programs. You don't have to do this and do all kinds of things and program. Nothing wrong with programs, but programs can change and people can change. But when God puts it in their heart to come to where they're supposed to be, they'll stay and they'll support. And he said, that's right, fruit that will remain. And so when we speak to the finances, the angels have gone out and are causing the money to come in. What are they doing? Somebody's sitting at their desk and the angel will say, you need to send some money over to that church over there. Hey, boy, I haven't thought about that. Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to do that. That was like, remember I was just telling you about this lady that we were praying for two Sundays ago. This is what she said, because we've been releasing these words. I forgot to tell you this. She was so excited before we prayed. She had to tell us this. She said, I was on my way to church to Shiloh. I don't know where Shiloh is. Maybe it's a local Baptist. I don't know. I hadn't looked it up. But she said, I was on my way to Shiloh, and the Holy Ghost told me to come here this morning. And I said, I don't doubt it, because your answer was here. Your answer was here. Your deliverance was here. Your husband's answer was here. So it was exciting, because what that told me was we can just stay in the Word. We can obey God. Speak, 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 and God will release the angels on our behalf to do the work for us, right? So when you get weary with things, remember you've got an army of angels at your disposal sent to minister to and for you, to serve you. They're meant to serve you. What? Those that are the heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This isn't something to get excited about. This is something to live. Because it's in the living every day that we wake up and go, hey, I've got an army at my disposal. I've got angels ready to do what? Serve me. Who do what? Excel in strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think that's exciting to me. Amen. Glory to God. In that, what's that? Let me just think of something here. Something in Psalm 91 just came up in my heart here. Let me look at this scripture here. Psalm 91. Right. Yeah. We didn't read that verse. See, the Holy Ghost said, read this verse. Remember verse 11? For he, in other words, let's go back. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge. He's my refuge. I've made him my refuge. Even the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For he shall make his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Now look at verse 12. They, who? The angels, shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That means to me that they're going to protect us. Oh boy. No evil shall befall thee. He's got his angels dispatched to protect you. Protect your going in, protect your going out, protect you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. This is supernatural time. Let them work for you. Keep your words right. Keep them centered on the Word of God. Keep His Word, that which is coming out of your mouth, because they will do what? Respond to the Word of God. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Let's say that. I'm blessed. I'm holy. I'm righteous. My body is healed. My bank accounts are full. We thank you that this city is, what do I want to say? This city is saved. Somebody said saved. Yeah, it's righteous, holy. There's something that the Spirit of God said to me in Pennsylvania. This is a number of years ago. He said, as you come up here and worship me, I will push back the darkness that's held sway in this area. What does that mean? I'm just looking at it differently tonight. That means when I come up and worship him, I'm speaking the word. And what is he doing? He's dispatching the angels to push back the darkness that's held sway. They're pushing it back. They're pushing it back. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? So as we come and worship, as we come and exalt him in our homes, in our cities and towns, the angels are released to push back darkness that's maybe gotten infected into that area. I'm telling you, God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Stop looking at the conditions. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you. We're so excited about your word. Your word is power and life to us. And Father, as we feed upon it and we release our words, we thank you that the angels are released on our behalf to correct situations, to move things, to change things. And we thank you, Father. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this place that we have, unhindered. We don't have to worry about someone coming in here and locking us out or kicking us out. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of peace and the spirit of love. We thank you for the Spirit of God that hovers over this property, protects everything that we have here. No hurt or harm or destruction shall come. And we thank you, Father, that the people are coming and the money is coming in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.